to be back with you again this afternoon and opening the Word of God and studying some more tonight. Some things that help us, I believe, to be better Christians and to be more like Jesus. Tonight, I want us to talk for a few minutes about the way we speak. I want us to talk about the words that we use and the way that we use our mouths and our tongues and doing that effectively in a way that's going to be beneficial to others rather than breaking people down and causing problems, which sometimes seems to be the way that people very often use their mouths. We sing in VBS almost every single morning, "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say." And that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes this evening. If you will, turn your attention to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, I want to read a section here beginning in verse 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19. If you want to keep your finger in the Proverbs from around chapters 10 to about chapters 18, and we'll be going around that section a little bit. There's some other places in Proverbs we'll go as well. But read with me in James chapter 1 beginning in verse 19. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." There are a couple verses in that text specifically that speak to the idea of how we talk and the way that we talk. The key verse we're going to use tonight is in verse 19, where he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." There have been people that I've been around in my life that need much what we see on the screen behind me. Someone who has some duct tape or some kind of adhesive device that can slap it over their mouths because they talk too much, they say things that are not appropriate, they don't know the right way to say things when they try to say things, and they are not very discerning in how they go about talking to people. And what I want to talk about tonight is guarding our tongue, being careful about how we use our tongue and using it in the right way. In the book of Proverbs, there's a lot said in a negative light about the tongue, about the mouth of fools, about those who foolishly pour out filth from their mouth. But on the other side of that, there are those who use their tongues in a good way. There are those who speak well, and it causes benefit to those who are around them. They bring healing to those who they are nearby. And we need to look at both of those aspects of how the tongue is used and see the consequences of that. Tonight, I want us just to consider using, for a basic outline, most of what we're going to talk about, those first two aspects of James 1 and verse 19, being quick to hear and slow to speak. And we're going to mix in there the idea of being slow to anger because it fits in with both of those concepts. So if I was going to ask the question, how can I guard my tongue? How can I be careful about the way I speak? Looking at James 1 and verse 19, I think we have some good answers. And the first of those is that I can be a better listener. That's a really good way to guard my tongue. And I'll tell you why that is, because if you are listening, you are not talking. And myself included, there are many people who need to be better listeners and who are not talking as much as they talk. Now, for someone like me, that is a very hard thing to do. I like to talk. Everyone who knows me knows I like to talk. And I have to struggle to keep myself from talking too much. And if you're very close to me, you probably know that as well. And I have that issue. And when I left Texas, Brother Bowman, one of the things he told me, parting words, he said, "You need to learn not to talk so much." That made me feel real good. He said some other things too, but he was right. And a lot of preachers have that issue. We like to talk. That's one of the reasons why we're up here. We enjoy what we do because we get to talk. But in that light, we have to be very careful about the things we say, even while we preach, but also personally to people, making sure that we have that personality. And there are others that have this personality as well, people who are very domineering in their personality, that have to be careful that they aren't taking over every conversation, and that everything isn't always about them, and they're not bringing everything back to themselves. We have to be careful about that sort of thing. And part of doing that is just being a better listener. When we don't listen well, it often brings all kinds of problems in our lives. I think the one that many of us can identify with is just in the marriage relationship. Sometimes discussions get very emotional, don't they? And we begin talking and we forget to listen to what the other person is saying. And I'll tell you what happens a lot of times with Katie and I is that as we're discussing things and maybe we're thinking differently, that eventually we figure out we're both saying about the same thing. And I figure out I just really haven't been listening very well to what she's been saying because I've been too busy thinking about what I want to say. And I think we all get that that is a problem that a lot of people have. That many of us have a lot of times, even people who might not have that type A personality. Still, a lot of times we are focused on what we think or what we think, what we want to say. And when we do that, we are not really listening to what the other person is saying. I love this scripture in Proverbs 16. It says, "The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips." You know what that means, to teach our mouth? Same idea as discipline, isn't it? There has to be times where I really want to say something, but I realize what's best is for me to just be quiet. That's discipline. That's teaching my mouth. That's realizing that what is much better for me is to sit and listen to what this person is saying or what these two people are saying, or rather than always trying to interject into that conversation. I'll tell you, that's hard. We want to be involved, don't we? Now, some of you out there are thinking that's not hard at all. You enjoy that sort of thing, and if that's you, that's great. You're already way ahead of people like me who have to be real careful about this. But there are times when we have to teach our mouths to just be quiet and listen. I also like Proverbs 15 and verse 28. Turn over to Proverbs 15, and let's read verse 28. "The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things." There's a lot of passages in the Proverbs that talk about the mouth of the fool pouring out something. There's one in chapter 15 and verse 2, "The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools pour out folly." I tell you what that says about the fool. The fool is glad to just run his mouth all the time, to always be talking, to just throw whatever out he can, to always be in the conversation, whether it makes sense or not, whether he really knows what's going on in the conversation. He always wants to have his mouth moving. And it becomes evident to people that that person is a fool. Chapter 17, the end of that chapter, a favorite verse of many, says in verse 27, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Some of you young people might like that verse. "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." My brother is one of those people that just kind of knows something about everything. It's kind of frustrating. You know, you can talk about something. My training in school was in financial planning, and I talk to him, and he knows everything I'm talking to him about. It's really frustrating. He didn't do any of that kind of training. He just likes to read, and so he learns all this kind of stuff. That's kind of annoying to someone like me. I want to be someone who knows something. But sometimes I enjoy just sitting and listening to him talk to somebody about math or about something I have no idea about. And I think sometimes when you do that, people kind of assume that you get what's going on. And that's what's being talked about in this passage, that even a fool, even who's someone who doesn't know what's going on, if you just sit and listen, people are going to assume sometimes that you're intelligent. I think there's a little paradox here in this text, because a fool is not really going to do that. But the writer here is making a point that even a foolish person, if they would just keep their mouth shut for a few minutes, if they would just listen, then someone would look at them and say, that person's smart. They know what's going on, even if they have no clue. One really good way for us to guard our lips is just to listen. To take time to listen to other people, to study how to answer the right way, to make sure we are teaching our mouths, we are disciplined in training our mouths to make appropriate answers. Chapter 15 of Proverbs has a lot to say about that. We might hit some of those verses later. But to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, it says in verse 23, and a word in season, how good it is. Wait for the right time. That's so much better than that fool that's just pouring out words all the time, saying things that don't really matter much. And I would say along these lines, as people who need to be listening better, part of what goes into that is just putting others' interests before our own. I read an article a while back. I read this book, actually. It's called Crucial Conversations, which I would highly suggest. It's a very good book. But they send out an email every so often, giving various scenarios and giving advice and that sort of thing. And one of the articles I read from that talked about how we've lost the art of conversation. And one of the problems in that is most people, because we've lost the art of conversation, what they do is immediately turn every conversation back to themselves. And when you have both parties doing that, it's hard to keep a conversation going very long. Because this person says something and you acknowledge that, but then immediately you say something about yourself. Maybe indirectly, maybe slyly we do that, and we turn the direction back to something we've done. And before long, there's not much there to talk about. And the whole problem with that, and the very basic element of that, is selfishness. That we are thinking maybe even the deepest part of our being, though it's not there at the very forefront, there is a bit of selfishness that is surfacing because we are always bringing everything back to ourselves. But we need to make sure we're doing what is said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, and that is putting others' interests before our own. And again, sometimes it's not an easy thing to do. If we have an opinion, if we have an idea, voicing over somebody else and something they've said, rather than just letting them speak, and considering that maybe what they have to say is rather important. We have to understand that it's not always about me. That a lot of times it's about the other people that I'm around, and that's what my focus needs to be on. And I need to make sure I'm listening to what they have to say. And if I do that, I'm going to be a much better brother in Christ to them. I'm going to be a much better friend, and I'm much more likely to say the right things to them if I really know their situation. I'll tell you where else this plays out, and that is in our dealings with non-Christians. So often we have what we want to say to people. But I think a very good way to approach talking to those who are non-Christians is to do a lot of listening. And to figure out where they are and what they already believe and what they already know. And approach it from that perspective, which is somewhat difficult at times. You have to be able to think on your feet to do that. But I believe it's going to be much more effective. And let me just give you a scenario in which it can be very dangerous how we deal with visitors, for instance, that come to our services. Maybe someone comes in and they've just lost a loved one. And their heart is in tune to religious types of concepts. They are thinking about God at that moment. They're trying as best they know how to make things right. And they are in this trial of life. It would be a very, very bad thing to begin questioning them and arguing with them in that moment about doctrinal matters, about trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong. And I'll tell you why that happens sometimes, if it does happen, is because we're not listening. We're not figuring out where that person is and what they need. There'll be another time for that. We have to be in tune. We have to be people who are willing to listen as much as we are willing to talk. So if we want to guard our tongues, one of the best ways to do that is to be people who are swift to hear, people who are quick to hear, to be better listeners. Another really good way to guard our tongue is to just talk less and to think more. That doesn't always involve listening to somebody else. Sometimes it is just in our car or in our home all by ourselves as we are considering something or we get in the presence of somebody and we really think we want to tell them something. Maybe it would be good if we thought a little bit more before we opened our mouths. There are a lot of various contexts in the scripture that talk about various groups of people and how they use their mouths. One that I think is appropriate to look at and has wide application, though, is dealing with a specific group of people, is in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul has been dealing with the issue of how to care for widows and who is to be cared for. And he talks about those who are older who can be cared for, but then he comes to the subject of those who are younger, verse 11, but refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. I think we all know that young widows are not the only ones that have trouble with gossiping and being busybodies. Paul here is using a specific application for why he wants them to do something with these young widows. He doesn't want them to be taking care of them with church funds, and he's giving some reasons for that. But he points out some problems, some things that should not be happening with one who is a Christian, one who has faith. And part of that is we need to be people who get out of other people's business, who are not busybodies, who are not nosy. There is a difference between being interested and then wanting to have to know everything about everyone and trying to dig and to prod and to figure out things about their lives. Always be in the know. There's a great danger when we're like that we are not using our mouths in an appropriate way. If we are a busybody, if we are nosy, we are certainly not using our mouths in the right. We are leading discussions down roads that they don't need to go. We are digging into personal matters that are none of our business. And that is not guarding our mouths. That is the sort of thing that leads to all kinds of destruction and folly that we're reading about in the book of Proverbs as we turn to some of these select quotes of wisdom. And that sort of thing needs to be avoided. We need to just be people who are willing to talk less and think more. Think very carefully before we bring up subjects, especially personal subjects with people. I think a really good rule of thumb is if something is personal, you let them bring it up to you. If they want to talk about it, they'll talk about it to you. And maybe you have someone who is a very close friend, and you know they're struggling with something, and I understand in that setting, it might be somewhat different. You know they're not talking to anybody, and they need someone to talk to, and you might gently bring up a subject. But all too often, it seems people are very prodding and nosy into other people's business. And there's very little good that comes from that most of the time. We need to take interest in other people, but it's not to dig out all the things, all the skeletons in their closet, and to figure out all the personal matters in their lives. That is not being very careful with how we use our tongues. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. The wise man says, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Not very long ago, middle of May, I think it was May 15th, there was a young man who was killed in Isla Vista, California. I'll just read a short piece to you from a little blurb that was given on an online article. What started as any other Saturday night in Isla Vista ended fatally for 26-year-old Vincent Valaquez early around 12:30 a.m. May 15th, when he was stabbed multiple times. According to the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Department spokesman Drew Sugars, what began as a verbal confrontation between the suspect and victim escalated into a physical altercation and eventual stabbing. Now they have that man in custody. That was just a few weeks ago. And I can assure you that if I took another 5 minutes to look online, I could find multiple stories just like that one. Just in the last few months. It took me about 2 minutes to find that. I can also assure you that both of those young men would probably take back the words they said in that verbal confrontation. One man is dead. The other man is now in prison, probably going to face a rather lengthy sentence. And it was because they talked too much. And those words turned into physical violence and very quickly escalated just from some words to death. That's why words are so powerful. They're so much stronger, it seems, than people often give them credit for. Proverbs 18 and verse 6, a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. That's what happened, wasn't it? This man used his lips to walk into a fight, and he welcomed a beating. And now he's dead. Verse 7, a fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. They both fit that one, don't they? This man, because of some words that were exchanged, stabbed this person multiple times and now is in prison, going to face a very difficult road because he didn't know how to keep his mouth shut. And anger causes too many words too fast when we haven't disciplined our mouths, as we talked about earlier. I know many of you have had a lot of self-control for a lot of years. You've grown up in Christian homes, or you are guided with good values. And I know you understand this concept that people in the world very often can't understand when bad things happen, why you don't lash out and say bad words or yell at people or those sorts of things, which hopefully we aren't doing. I experienced that one time when I was younger in high school. I didn't even think about it, really, until my friend said something about it. I was playing baseball, and I was a catcher. And as I typically did, not thinking very clearly, as we were doing infield, I just threw my mask off for a few minutes. I was taking throws from the outfield. And our right fielder had a pretty good arm, and he threw it in, and it hit the lip of the grass in the sand. And I went down the block, and it shot straight up and hit me right in the eye. And it hurt, knocked me out for a second. And then I just rolled around there, bleeding for a while. And I didn't think anything of it. But later, my friend, who I'd grown up with, he came up to me and he said, I can't believe you weren't swearing and yelling about that, which never even crossed my mind. And probably wouldn't for many of you as well. But the way that we use our lips can make a difference. People notice. And it's not just using bad words or lashing out in the moment of frustration or difficulty, but it's the kind of things we talk about, the kind of joking that we do. We need to be very careful to think before we speak. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul had quite a bit to say about this. Ephesians chapter 4. And chapter 5 as well, actually. He says in verse 26, first of all, be angry and do not sin. Be slow to anger, as James said it. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Drop down to verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. That's one of those positive passages about how we speak. I really like how Paul says that. Only as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Man, that's a challenge to think about that. And the way I'm speaking, is that what I'm doing? Am I only saying things that are appropriate for the occasion? Am I giving grace to those who are hearing me talk? There's a lot of examination that has to go into that as I'm thinking about the way I'm talking to people. Even people I don't know that I can have an influence on by the way I'm speaking. Then drop a few verses down in chapter 5, in verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. There are a lot of things to think about before we speak, aren't there? Before we tell a joke, or before we react to somebody else telling one, or as we're dealing with maybe even another brother or sister in Christ, maybe we have a disagreement, and as we're in that conversation, there's a lot of things to think about in terms of how we react to that. We have to be careful. We need to listen a lot. We need to talk a lot less, I think, in those types of circumstances, and think some more before we open our mouths to talk. That proverb is very clear. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. When you get in trouble, the fastest way to do that is to talk a lot. To just say everything that's on our minds, which the Proverbs tell us is utterly foolish. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. Turn there and read this with me. I want everyone to read this. Some people have this idea, well, if I think it, I ought to say it, as if it's just not being honest with people if you don't tell them what you think. And let me tell you, that is foolish to the core. And the wise man says so, Proverbs 29 and verse 11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. It is extremely wise to not say everything you think. For one thing, there's sometimes we think things we shouldn't think. And we got to take care of that. We certainly shouldn't say those things. But even if something is true, or even if something is right, it's not always the right occasion. It doesn't always fit the situation, as Paul just talked about in Ephesians chapter 4. It's not going to give grace to the hearers. It's not going to build people up. And we need to think about how to say that in such a way at the right time in which it will do that. We do not, and we should not, just vent everything that's on our mind. We don't have the right to do that as one who is in the image of Christ, who's trying to walk by his example. Here the wise man says a fool does that. We're going to guard our tongue. It means we're going to listen more. It means we're going to talk less. We're going to think very carefully about the things that we say. And let me also say that guarding the tongue, what it does is it protects against a worthless religion. That's what James tells us at the end of that text that we read earlier in James chapter 1. He has a lot to say in his book about the way we talk. We haven't even talked about James chapter 3 yet, which is a great depth about the tongue and how it's used. But in the last part of this text, in verse 26, he says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, that's that discipline, that's the training of the tongue, that's realizing we have to be careful that it's never going to be tamed. We always have to watch out for what we're going to say. If anyone does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. And this person's religion is worthless. There's a few things going on there, I believe. First of all, if we can't bridle the tongue, it's showing a lack of self-control. And a lack of self-control does not say a whole lot about our religion, about our faith. Because we are called to be people who are controlled in our lives, who are following after the example of Jesus and after the example of men like Paul and the apostles as they call us to do that. And if we can't even control our tongue and the things we say, it says a lot about who we are. this person who is not very discerning in how they talk, James says they are self-deceived. They think they're religious, and yet they let their mouth fly off the handle. They say whatever comes to mind, and they're prodding into other people's business. They're saying things behind people's backs, and all the while they somehow justify their religion and who they are. He says they're self-deceived. And in that, they are worthless in their religion. Jesus says it pretty well in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, he is dealing with some of these hypocritical rulers who do not like him very much. And his disciples are questioning him a little bit about some of the things he has said. He calls them hypocrites in verse 7. He says, "You honor me with, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And his disciples felt a little bad about that. And Jesus, should you really be saying this about these religious leaders? They had been questioning about not washing their hands. And this is what Jesus says beginning in verse 14. "Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." Remember that story we talked about a few minutes ago? That explains what Jesus is saying right here, doesn't it? What comes out of the heart is made known when we speak. And what was made known about those two men is they were willing to fight with each other, and one of them was willing to stab the other one to death. And where that came from was his heart, and it began with his mouth because it wasn't very careful about what he said. It might seem like a very minor thing. Some of the things we say. But they are very serious. The way we use our mouth says a lot about our heart. It is a window to our heart. That's what Jesus is telling us in that passage. And from that is where everything else comes from. Where evil plans are devised, as it's talked about in Proverbs. People plan things that are wrong, that are evil, and lead them into all kinds of other problems. It all begins with the mouth, with their speaking and their evil thoughts. We better be careful about the way we talk. And as with any subject like this, there was no way for us to cover all of that. There are so many more verses in Proverbs alone that you can turn to. I would suggest, if you can, to get a colored pencil or a pen, and just go through and just circle every verse the same color that talks about the way we use our tongue or the way we use our mouth. You can do the same thing with other subjects as well, being lazy or whatever one you pick out. Pick a different color and go through the book of Proverbs and circle those things. And then as you read through those, you can identify them very quickly. It's very helpful. But as you're doing that, you'll begin to see how often the Proverbs talk about the importance of the way we speak and the impact that has on our lives. In fact, one of the things we're supposed to do as a Christian is to confess that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, just as Peter did in Matthew chapter 16. We have to be willing to confess with our mouth. We're told in Romans chapter 10. If we can't do that, there were those who weren't willing to confess, some of the priests. They believed, but they wouldn't confess, and so they were lost. One important way that we use our mouth is that we confess the message of the cross. We tell people about Jesus. We proclaim what we believe. And it might be tonight that you're ready to do that, that you haven't given yourself to Christ yet.